What's up? This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo. We're about to get into this. Before we go any further, I just want to let you know, if you want to have a good time, you need to have good seats. If you want to have good seats, you need to go to SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated, confusing, and a pain in the ass, but there's a simpler way to buy tickets with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. Whether you're spending a day at a ballpark searching for the perfect gift or hunting down a last-minute deal, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. You want to have a good time? You got to get good tickets. You want to get good tickets? You got to go to SeatGeek. I got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's the easiest way I have found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, any place, with just a few taps, and I can instantly find the seats I want at a great price. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals, the best deals, and you get the most bang for your buck at SeatGeek. And my listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BUTTER today, okay? That's the promo code BUTTER, B-U-T-T-E-R, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BUTTER today and save $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Live.
You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am.
You down with Rappaport?
Yes, I am.
You down with Rappaport?
Yes, I am.
You down with Rappaport?
Yes, I am.
You better tune in, IamRappaport.com. Cause every single podcast, you know he drops bombs. I seen him on set, a seasoned vet with true talent. Catch him on his way to CrossFit, rocking the New Balance. He asked me to do the track cause he know I rhyme elite. But I'm just waiting for the Robert De Niro line of the week. Breakfast of Champions, toasted bagel, cream cheese and lox. This is I Am Rappaport, the show never stops. You might catch him out in public, stretching his knees. But if you don't listen to the show, yo, wigger please.
Wigger please.
This is the I Am Rappaport Podcast.
All right, this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast coming live and direct from the Gloom Tomb. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. Mr. White Folks, a.k.a. White Mike, a.k.a. Bird. I'm here with the 2015-2016 podcast co-host of the year. He went back to back on that ass. Goes by the name of G Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. Always ready, G Monetti. And this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. First ever episode on Barstool Sports. Excited to create the first ever podcasting sports super team. I've had a lot of problems with super teams in the NBA, but I have no problem creating one in the podcast world. And we're doing the damn thing at Barstool. I'm excited about it. Monetti, fuck South Beach. We've decided to take our talents to Barstool Sports.
That's right. And there was no pep rally. We just coming in and hit the ground running.
Period. No pep rallies. No fireworks. They didn't cart us out in our uniforms with our headbands on, sneakers tied up, and ankles taped to do a big pep rally and blow up some fireworks. We hit the fucking ground running. Okay? I know there's new listeners. Let me give you a little background real quick. This is the only non-fact-checking podcast in the world. We pride ourselves on that. We go by the name of the Disco 2, the Malachi Brothers, me and G Monetti, Gerald Moody. We have been podcasting off-air since 1982, and now we're taking things into the newest of the new millennium. Today's episode, I'm excited about it, Monetti.
Me too, man.
I'm pumped. We're going to have Eli Lake. We have the unofficial, official political correspondent joining us later on in the show. But let's just jump into this, Monetti.
Let's do it.
So, Monetti, how does it feel, man? We're a part of a super team.
Super team. Before we go, I want to ask you one
question. Oh, wait. I have a feeling this is going to go into...
No.
Are we going to start talking about the NBA Finals? Are you still upset about that? But go ahead. Ask the question. Please go ahead.
One question. Would KD have left Oklahoma if he couldn't go to the fucking Warriors? Would he have left and, let's say, went to another team?
Yes, he was done, man. Yo, Russell Westbrook...
I don't know.
Russell Westbrook is a one-man band. This I hate to use this term... This finals and this KD and this elimination and dethronement, public dethronement of your guy, LeBron James, has got you, I hate to use this, triggered. Got you a little fucked up in the game.
I think if he couldn't go to the Warriors, he would have stayed there, I think.
He was leaving. He had enough. It was like banging your head against the wall playing with Russell Westbrook. Obviously, I'm a fan of Russell, but the two of them didn't mix. James Harden also left, and no other great player will play with Russell until he slows down a bit, okay? And I love Russell, but he's a one-man band. He's a one-man band. He doesn't pass the ball naturally. And they had played enough, and I think Russell Westbrook, and I think Kevin Durant's disposition is that I think he just wants to play ball. Based on everything I see, the way he talks, he just wants to play ball. He's not on that rah-rah shit. He's not on some extra hype shit. He likes to move the ball. He has no problem scoring or not scoring. He doesn't have to be the main dude. And I think that's why he fits into the Golden State Warriors the style of basketball, because none of those guys really seem like they need to be the dude. Even Steph Curry, who actually is the dude and who was the dude, was like, yo, come on in. Do your thing.
Yeah. Anybody could fit in that All-Star team. You could fit in. They could have put you in that spot.
What the fuck does that mean, asshole?
Like, oh, he fits in. Anybody could fit in with that team.
Well, but you could fit in with that team, but not everybody could fit in with Russell Westbrook.
Until I hear that from KD, then I'll give that some credence. Okay. But you saying it, you just want to bolster your fucking argument. And I'm telling you, this guy, if he couldn't go to the Warriors, he wouldn't have left that team. He went to them because they beat him.
Wait, your argument is more valid than mine? You don't even watch the fucking game. Oh, you fuck you. Let me tell you something. He left. It was either Boston or the Warriors, and he's not coming back. And you know who else? You know what else is happening? Nobody's going to Oklahoma City to play with Russell Westbrook. Nobody. None of the free agents are going to Oklahoma City to play with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook.
Russell's going to win a championship. He's going to win a championship.
Who? Russell Westbrook?
Yes.
When? Don't make another prediction. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Make your prediction.
I'm saying within the next 3-4 years, Russell Westbrook will win. They're going to build around that guy because he has that heart.
You can't win a championship in this NBA without multiple stars. Paul George, Gordon with the good hair, Hayward. None of these guys are going to play with Russell Westbrook. Nobody is fucking with Russell Westbrook. He's going to keep defying expectations. He's a beast. I love Russell Westbrook, but nobody is checking for him in Oklahoma City. No one's going to build anything around him. They're not winning shit. Period. It's over.
It's over.
It's fucking over. Okay?
All right. It's over.
It's fucking over, man. Paul George informed the Indiana Pacers that he's done. He wants to go to LA, which I have no problem with. I want to see the Lakers do well. I have a vested interest in it because of the whole Dan Lebatard, a.k.a. the Beignet Bandit, a.k.a. the Cupcake King, a.k.a. that fat fuck. He said that Magic wasn't going to do well and all that shit. You see, Dan Lebatard, he doesn't understand star power. Magic Johnson has right. star power. Dan Le Batard doesn't even know what that word means because he's a fat fuck. Okay? So Magic Johnson meets with Paul George. Paul George wants to win. Magic Johnson is known for winning. He's going to get Paul George there. Okay? And yeah. Paul George and Magic Johnson, and they're going to probably draft Lonzo Ball. He's going to be a good point guard for the Lakers. They're going to build their thing up, and they're going to be competing for a championship. 3 years. Give it three seasons. They'll be in the mix. Give it three seasons.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I don't doubt it either. I don't doubt it either. And everybody who doesn't want to see Magic do well. Speaking of Magic do well, the ESPN 30 for 30 best of enemies that covers the Los Angeles Lakers and Boston Celtics rivalry is excellent. It is excellent. I think it's like 5.5 hours. It's three parts. It covers right. the Bill Russell overrated Boston Celtic days when they won like 7 championships in a row.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of teams are you playing against?
Yeah, he's playing against 7 in a row. He's playing against podiatrists and shit. That's what he's playing against.
Seven in a row.
Yeah, 7 in a row. He's so great. He's so great. He won 7 in a row. It'll never happen again. No shit, it'll never happen again. Yeah.
Right, of
they're like, no one will ever do that again. Fucking duh. You could have put Udonis Haslem in that era. He'd have won 12 in a row.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Some quantum leap shit. Put him back there. He's like the Jordan of that time.
Jordan. He would have been like it would have been like Iron Man. He'd have been fly. Imagine Udonis Haslem playing in 1959 against my man Dolph Shays and them.
Oh, come on, man.
But it's really, really, really good. You know, it covers like, you know, the history of their rivalry, you know, through the whole NBA. Obviously, the highlight being the 80s and the you know, the early 90s and the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, James Worthy, Cornbread Maxwell of it all, the Bill right, Fitch, right. the Pat Riley. It's dope. Magic's in it. Bird is in it. One of the things that was most sort of hard to sort of wrap my head around was the dissemination of Larry Bird's looks. Holy shit. I mean, he was never winning any beauty contests to begin with, but when they're doing the current interviews now, what the fuck, man? Larry Legend, fix your grill. Yo, Larry Legend needs a whole facelift. His shit is like, it's like caved in. It looked like he got like, yo, Larry Legend looks fucked up.
Yeah, he need to get his shit peeled off and get a new face, man.
Yo, he needs to get on that Nicolas Cage. His grill looks fucked up, man. And people say you look like Larry Bird. I might have looked like Larry Bird when he came in the league, but these chiseled good looks that I have, this razor sharp jawbone and these high cheekbones, that don't look like fucking Larry Legend. And for the record, I love Larry Legend. Okay, he's my favorite white person with no lips. He's at the top of that list. It'll never change. But damn, he looked fucked up, man. Larry Legend looked fucked up. But I highly recommend everybody watches the 30 for 30, Best of Enemies. It's narrated. It's got two narrators. They did it cool. They have Ice Cube. He does all the Lakers narration. And Donnie Wahlberg of the Wahlberger family, who, you know, they're doing their thing with all the burger joints. Of course, Donnie Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg. There's like 9 of them. He narrates all the Boston stuff. So it's really, really, really good. It's like a... And it's long. It's like 5 hours of... Celtics, NBA, Isaiah. It's just, it's dope.
Yeah.
So if you've never listened to the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, we give a weekly award. It's called the Sick Fuck of the Week Award. It is an award that is earned, not given. It is an award that is earned, not given. Producer extraordinaire Miles Davis and Jordan Winter, we call them the Dust Brothers. Please cue the Sick Fuck of the Week music. This award is earned, not given. It's called the
Sick Fuck of the Week.
This guy's really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. You fucked the dog?
You what?
You fucked the dog? Why would you fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What? Sick fuck.
The Sick Fuck of the Week. It's earned.
Earned.
Not given.
You did. What?
No. No.
No. No.
Yes. Yes. That's the Sick Fuck of the Week theme song created by the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast team. There's a Newark, New Jersey man. He is this week's lead Sick Fuck of the Week. This guy was ejaculating in his employer's coffee for the last 4 years. He was skeeting in people's coffee at work. This is a guy in Newark, New Jersey. He was doing it for 4 years. You've been skeeting in these people's coffee for 4 years. They've been drinking that skeet for 4 years.
Dang.
4 years.
Yo.
This guy's name is Lewis Williams. And I said it once, I say it before. When you find pictures of these sick fucks of the week, they actually look like sick fucks. This guy's getting locked up for multiple charges. Listen, be careful who's making your coffee. Be careful who's making your hot dogs, your hamburgers. I don't know why people would do this. Be friendly when you go to the drive-thru, okay? Because you never know what kind of special sauce they're actually putting in there. A sexual offender, okay? This is a sexual offender. He decided to take his talents elsewhere, and he tried to have his way with a pit bull. He was caught in the act. He sodomized the pit bull. If you're gonna have your way with a dog, I don't know why they try to do it with the pit bull, because it never goes the way you plan. I think he was getting back at his ex-girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend's friend. The dog is okay.
Yeah.
They examined the dog, and they found out the dog is okay. Obviously, that dog needs therapy going forward.
Shit.
This is a ongoing thing. Why people are having sex with animals? I don't know why.
Right, right. Damn, I don't. I have a sick fuck.
Oh, with an do animal, you?
But I'm not going to bring it up because you got all the animals. Fuck it. I don't want to talk about it. You did the animals. I'm not doing it.
Oh well, I'm sorry. I have another one.
All right.
This is a guy in North Carolina. He's down south, North Kakalaka.
Yeah.
He was caught on somebody's property having sex with a pig. His penis got lodged in the pig's vagina. The owner of the pig and the property said, "Get off my pig, you sick fuck you." This guy named David Chavez, he said, "I'm sorry, I can't get off her because his loaf was lodged into the pig."
Damn.
And he said, I'm sorry, I love her. I was not hurting her." This is a sick fuck. Lock him up.
Yeah, lock him up.
Put all the people that like to have sex with animals, put them in one little sub jail. They don't need to be around normal people. I don't want to be worried that when my dog, when I let it out to go pee in front of the house, that somebody is looking at it like he's in a singles bar. Yo, the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast Rodeo Tour is coming to Texas. Wednesday, July 26th, stateside at the Paramount in Austin, Texas. Thursday, July 27th, The Secret Group, Houston, Texas. Saturday, July 29th, at the Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas. Cannot wait. It's the rodeo leg of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast World Tour. Tickets are available at www.iamrapaporttour.com. www.iamrapaporttour.com. Wednesday, July 26th, we're going to be in Austin at Stateside. Thursday, the 27th, The Secret Group in Houston. And Saturday, July 29th, at the Texas Theater in Dallas, we're probably going to wind up with some special guests. I can't wait to do it in the biggest state of all, Texas. I was thinking about doing this for Caitlyn Jenner. Now, we've talked about Caitlyn Jenner over and over and over.
Right.
And somehow, some way, Caitlyn Jenner just doesn't figure it out. Like, you shouldn't be speaking publicly about anything. I don't give a fuck who you think you are. Yeah. I don't care that you think you're the face of the LGBT community. You're not. You shouldn't be speaking out on anything. Nothing. You have no charisma. You have no sense of what's going on in the world. You're not funny. You're not dope. You did show us the loaf. Mm-hmm. Now go on your way. Obviously, everybody knows about the terrible incident that happened in Virginia last week with the all the politicians get together for a friendly game of baseball. Shout out to Large Professor. Shout out to May's main source. And that person shot at innocent people while they're playing a friendly game of baseball. Caitlyn Jenner, the sick fuck, the out of touch, weirdo, and has nothing to do with her personal choices. You're a weirdo because you have the gall to say something like this.
Yeah.
So you said no one deserves what happened out there. There's no justification. Fortunately, the guy was a really bad shot. Liberals can't even shoot straight. Go the fuck away. Go away. Yeah. Why would you say, you think you're funny? You think that these Republicans, these people at the NRA conventions that invited you to speak, they're using you like a fucking pawn. And you sit there and this is what you say when you get a public forum. That's a joke. You think that's funny? Liberals can't even shoot straight. You make a joke of a terrible thing like that.
Right. This guy's fighting for his life. You making jokes. And speaking of her, she was at Katy Perry had a white guilt symposium that she live streamed via YouTube.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of different people from all walks of life. Caitlyn was there, Margaret Cho. But, you know, I commend Katy Perry for doing this to try to see the lives of other folks and how they live. And Caitlyn came up there on some bullshit. A black girl, Amanda Seals of True TV, was telling her, you know, you had a whole life full of privilege as a white male. Huh. So there's no way you could understand, right? You just changed into a woman. So, you know, Amanda put her in her place. So it was a white guilt symposium, and I kind of liked it. Katy Perry was a sincere with it. She really seemed like she wanted to understand shit. So, but I get it. He got checked. Good for them.
Yeah, I heard about this white guilt symposium. This is like all the white girls were there. They were crying and asking the people of color about what it's like to not be a white girl. I heard about this white guilt symposium. Apparently, they're supposed to start having these every 6 months.
Yeah, and they had a chef.
They had a chef. They had a chef. Yeah, that's the way to you connect with the have-nots. You have a chef. You got Katy Perry. Like, we're going to be at a mansion in Hollywood Hills, and Katy Perry's going to sit there and cry about how she doesn't understand black appropriation. That's good. That's a good symposium, the white guilt symposium, every 6 months. You know, it's funny. All these females, they protest for everything, and I think that's great. I love all the females. Shout out to all the people that are protesting, all the Starbucks protesters, all the hipster fucks in Brooklyn that are protesting. I'm all for equal rights, women's rights, and all that stuff. But you know what's interesting, Monetti? Yesterday, the great Diana Taurasi, she is now the WNBA's leading scorer, female of all time. This went under the radar because all these women that want equal rights and equal pay, and they want to protest this and protest that. Why don't you spend Sundays watching WNBA basketball games? Why is Diana Taurasi breaking the all-time WNBA scoring record to a crowd of 462 people in an arena that holds 20,000 people?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
You want equal pay, you want equal rights, yet you won't go to a WNBA basketball game, yet you'll run around to see the guys play. Why? Why is this?
Right.
Diana Taurasi, she just did something groundbreaking. Kobe Bryant, everybody shouted her out. LeBron James, everybody congratulated her. And she played into a crowd of less than like 5,000 people. Why don't the women, especially the white guilt symposium women, why don't they go support the WNBA?
Right, exactly.
They're complaining about equal pay and equal pay in Hollywood and how Jennifer Lawrence, this is dollars and cents. And I want the women to get exactly what they should get, and I want the men to get what they should get, and I want the black people and the Chinese people and the Jews and everybody should get equal pay. But how do you expect Diana Taurasi to feel, okay, when she can't even fill up a quarter of an arena, but you guys are protesting every fucking thing under the sun that doesn't have to do with shit?
Right.
Poor Diana Taurasi, she broke the WNBA scoring record with such little fanfare.
Yeah.
Where was Lena Dunham? Where was Amy Schumer? Where was your girl America Ferrara? Where was Katy Perry? Why didn't she come out and do a free concert? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Diana Taurasi's like 46 playing in the WNBA. Do you not care about your fellow female athletes?
Right.
It only works when you work it. We have to give a moment to the great John Avildsen, who directed Rocky and The Karate Kid. Passed away at 81 years old. If you are familiar with the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, I think Rocky is probably the film of the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. I used to play ball with his son. He has a son named Rufus Avildsen. The only person I ever met with the name of Rufus. But Rocky, man, ginormous success, tiny little film that was made for a micro budget, and the rest is history, went on to gross millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars. And then he did The Karate Kid, which is kind of like a Rocky type of underdog film. Passed away at 81 years old, and a great director, you know, lived a good life and iconic, man. I mean, he left his mark with those two films, but Rocky, it doesn't get any bigger than that. So I wanted to give John Avildsen a shout out. And if anybody knows where the whereabouts of Rufus Avildsen, tell him Mike Rapp said what's up. It's the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. Now down with Barstool Sports. I'm going to take a quick break. Listen to this moody beat. Coming right up with my man Eli Lake, the unofficial, official political correspondent of the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast.
Yo.
Yo, Eli.
What's good?
Everything's fantastic. This is the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. This is the unofficial, official political correspondent, Eli Lake. I got one simple question for you, Eli. Okay. And you can answer it and take the conversation where you want to take it. Okay. But the long and short, simple question that everybody wants to know, okay, is are they locking this motherfucker up or not? It's very simple. Are they going to lock this fucking guy up or not? And if so, when? Because I want to purchase a ticket, because I want to purchase a plane flight right there, and I want to watch him get walked into the prison that hopefully he's going to get walked into. Please, very simple question. Are they locking this motherfucker up? Please.
You got to slow down. We're not there yet.
Oh, God.
That is a political process. It's not a legal process. So it would require for the House of Representatives to vote and impeach him, and then there would be a trial in the Senate. And we're a long way from that. What there is, however, now is a credible, independent investigation involving the former FBI director, Bob Mueller. And he has, according to all the reports at this point, a very wide mandate to not only go after the original question, which was, did Donald Trump and the Trump campaign collude with the Russians and the hacking of Democrats and efforts to influence the election? Which, by the way, I don't think there has not been any evidence to say that yet, which is one of the reasons I think Trump has been frustrated. But this can get into his finances going back 30 years, whether he had deals with Russian oligarchs. And then finally, it gets to this question, which is, I think, you know, a lot of lawyers have different opinions on, but when he fired the other FBI director, James Comey, was this an example of obstruction of justice? Did he fire him, as he said on NBC, because of his investigations on the Russia matter? And then those then become political questions. And the real issue will be, will other Republicans who will have to wait for what Bob Mueller comes up with, but when he does come up with what he comes up with, will they still stand with Trump or won't they? And if you look at his poll numbers right now, it's going to be very, very difficult for Republicans, if they stay where they are, to stand with Trump if Mueller comes up with a credible case against him.
Okay. Okay. In hindsight, it's been a few days. What did we specifically learn or not learn from the Comey hearing? And what did we specifically learn or not learn from the Jeff Sessions hearing? Is this a fucking witch hunt?
No.
What the hell's going on, Eli? Where's Michael Bloomberg? This is your boss, Michael Bloomberg. You know, we probably have a lot of new listeners today. Okay. The I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast has moved to Barstool Sports. A lot of people, millions and millions of people are going to be listening to the worldwide phenomenon. Thank you. Appreciate that. Tell Bloomberg to send me a little Mazel Tov note. I wouldn't mind. You know, I'm doing well. He's doing well. We're both moguls. We're both doing our thing. But what did we learn from Comey? What did we learn from Jeff Sessions? And the C part of the question is this a fucking witch hunt?
All right. Well, off the bat, it's not a witch hunt, but it's one of these situations where Trump has made his problems much worse. Because what we learned from Comey is that he told the president three times, you're not under investigation. But he wouldn't say that publicly. So there was a lot of reporting out there that suggested that Trump was under investigation. And this drove the president bananas.
So nuts.
What he did do was he fired Comey, and then Comey proceeded to share his notes first with the New York Times of his one-on-one meeting with Trump, and then later talked about them in that testimony and gave them to the special counsel. And guess what, Mr. President? You're now under investigation. So it's amazing to me because he created this problem for himself, and it's much worse because a special counsel like this, especially since they're independent, they can go in all kinds of directions. This can take months, years, who knows? And he could have avoided all of this had he not fired Comey in the way that he did. That's the other thing, because it was a total sham. The first reason that he gave for firing Comey was because of Hillary, which didn't make any sense. And he put out this memo that his Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, wrote and said, well, that was it. And they spent like 24 hours pretending that that was the reason. And then Trump blew that up by going on television in an interview with NBC and said, no, I fired him because of the Russia stuff. And then he starts tweeting all this stuff, like saying, like, I'm under investigation. And his lawyers are like, you have no evidence that he's under investigation. And so I'm saying he creates these problems for himself. And that's the story, which is that Comey had told him you're not under investigation, but now that he fired him in the way that he did, it looks like he is or he will be under investigation on this issue of obstruction of justice.
Now, if in fact Trump were to go down, would Mike Pence go down with him? That's the first part of the question. And you know, I'm not a political expert. In all of your years of studying, following, learning, educating yourself about politics, have you ever seen a politician who looks more like they have to take a shit all the time than Mike Pence does? He looks like he's always looking like he's like nervous, like he's about to cry, like he's on the verge of crying, like, please don't let me shit my pants. I'm being talked to with the world as my stage. Please don't let me shit my pants.
That's your interpretation on that. But to answer your first question, no. If Trump was to be impeached or was to resign, then Pence would become the president. And an irony is that if you are liberal or progressive, you probably don't like that from a policy perspective, because Trump has proven himself to be so incompetent in terms of getting his agenda through,
mm-hmm.
whereas Pence, you know, has some experience and is himself more, has more convictions as a hardline conservative. I mean, the story of the Trump presidency is, you know, he campaigned as this, you know, kind of corporate turnaround artist type, and he's none of that. He's been stymied from the beginning. Part of it is because, you know, it was such a contentious election, and the Democrats, had it in for him from the beginning. But that's not the full reason. The main reason, as I said before, is that he has just created all these problems for himself, and he doesn't seem like he's capable of like learning from these mistakes yet. And that's where I think he's going to really run into problems. The thing to watch is Republican leaders. Are they going to continue to stand with him or not? And so far they're standing with him, but the support is getting softer and softer as we see his approval numbers going down and down.
All right. What else should I know about? What else is, like, today, as of today, like, what was the thing in politics, whether it's here in the United States or worldwide, that got you going, that is the most concerning, sort of jeopardizing or most looming thing, Eli?
Well, one of the things that I'm really worried about is the reaction to the horrible tragedy last week with the congressional baseball game. And I'm sure you followed, this is a terrible story. This guy who came in shot Steve Scalise and these other Republicans who were practicing for the baseball game. And I'm going to say something here, which is kind of going against what a lot of the columnists and kind of opinion types have been saying, which is we all have to watch our rhetoric. And of course, I agree, we should not be inciting people to violence. But we should always remember that this nutcase, this dirtbag who did this terrible thing, is responsible for his actions. He did not do this because Bernie Sanders gave a speech about a political revolution. And we should always be really wary anytime someone says, especially because you and I are in the business of you know, expressing our views and you know, talking to lots of people. We are not responsible.
Talking greasy.
Right. But I'm saying we're not responsible for mental patients who listen to something we say and do something because they themselves are unwell. And that is a really dangerous thing. We saw this over the weekend. There was a production of Julius Caesar in Central Park, and a conservative activist went on the stage and said, "You're getting people killed," or something like that. No, that's not true at all.
And get the fuck up off the stage, Duke. I'm trying to perform here.
Exactly. That's art. When you have art and you want to portray Julius Caesar as Donald Trump, that is what we do. That is what a free society does. So it's really careful. Yes, responsible people should not demonize their political opponents. That on straight up grounds, but don't link that to what these nut jobs are going to do, because
I agree
that's going to lead to censorship, and I'm very concerned about that.
I agree. It's a very tumultuous time that we're actually in right now. It's going to make for, hopefully, everybody's going to get out as safe and sound, as possible, with as minimal amount of lives lost. But, when we look back on this 30 years from now, we're going to be like, what the fuck, man?
It does feel like we're on the edge, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, it does. You could feel the volatility in the country, no matter what side you're on or who's right or who's wrong, whatever. You could feel the sort of the tension. You could feel it. You could feel the tension. And, everybody's whispering and looking around over their shoulders before they speak. And it's crazy, man.
And we should just, and that's the other thing, is that said, let's just calm it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, take a breath. You're not going to impeach Trump, anytime soon at this point. You can resist him and oppose him, and you should, if that's where your conviction is. But do it in a way that respects other people who are going to have a different perspective than you, and we all have to live in this country together. And, like, let's not take it to 1,000.
You know, in 4 years, three years, 2.5 years, you know, they're going to start talking about, you know, the next election. From the Democratic side, you know, obviously, you know, Trump will be representing the Republicans if he you know, can stay hydrated and you know, get off the candy. Because he looks like he's, like, dehydrated. He looks like he needs to, like, have, like, a little drip. Like, a so, like, you know, like when
he
athletes
looks
are...
He needs to be eating some more organic foods, some vegetables. Stay
Yo,
away from
he needs to go on a juice cleanse. He looks like shit. And I think everybody will agree that he looks like shit. He was never winning any awards to begin with, but he looks bloated. He looks blurry-eyed. And today I saw him. He was sitting with, I believe, the president of Panama. And on, like, his hair, I don't know what kind of concoction it is. No one's really sure what's up with his wig piece. But it looked like slanted, like tilted. Like he was like, fuck it, just I'll go out looking like this. And he just looked like he just wanted a nice, like a big bottle of cold, you know, kiwi strawberry Snapple. You know, like he just needs to be hydrated well and at all times.
I love that kiwi strawberry. Yes, but you're correct. I think that's a shrewd observation. He needs to be better hydrated.
And what else, Eli? What else should, you know, the listeners of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, the worldwide phenomenon, paying attention to?
All this bad news, but the other thing that's been on my mind recently is they let this poor college student from North Korea return him. He just died.
Yeah.
That's a terrible story. And, I mean, it looks like the unavoidable thing is that there was an American who was taken by the North Koreans that basically murdered. And, you know, it's important that the North Korean regime pays a price for that. I'm not saying there needs to be a war or there should be a war. But if you get away with that, it's like open season on Americans. It's very important that there is some penalty and price that they pay. So we have to see how Trump handles that. And so far, we haven't seen that from him. And so that's something I'm like looking at on that side of it. It's terrible what they did. That they returned him and he was already brain dead and he just... Did you see that was another horrible story?
Yeah, I've been following. I can't pronounce the young man's name. It's Otto
Wemberler, I think. Yeah, I'm with you. I can't pronounce it.
But. Yeah, but I've been following it. It's crazy. It's scary. All right. Now, finally, you texted me this morning very early telling me that your prediction is that the Philadelphia 76ers are winning the Eastern Conference next season.
I'm feeling
now,
so good.
I don't give a fuck if they get Markelle Fultz. They got the process. They got Ben Simmons and 19 other guys that are under 23 years old. Okay? Hold your head. It's not happening. Now, you got some talented players there, four of which we've never even seen play. Okay? Why are you so hyped up on your Philadelphia 76ers at this point?
Well, if Joel Embiid can keep it together and stay healthy for a whole season, he's like Hakeem Olajuwon with a better jump shot. And that alone is reason for hope. And then if Ben Simmons is one half the hype that we thought he was in LSU, and then we get the number one pick in this Markelle Fultz guy, I just feel like...
They're already selling his jersey.
I mean, I just feel like as a long-suffering Sixers fan, it feels like we're coming back to that era. Dr. J and Andrew Toney and Moses Malone and Bobby Jones. And I just feel it. I mean, you're a long-suffering Knicks fan. If you had that kind of core at such a young age, I mean, you would be excited too. And so I'm going to go.
I would totally be excited. And I love Philadelphia, and I love the Philadelphia sports community. I'm a Sixers fan.
I just wish Iverson could play with Embiid if there was some way we could. Like, he never had that kind of, like, other superstar on the Sixers when he took us to that finals against Shaq and Kobe and won that game one, which was like the greatest moment for the Sixers since 83. You know, we both love Iverson and you did that great interview with him.
Them winning that game in Los Angeles, the Sixers winning that game, that was like a true Philly pride moment because he knocked down the Giants. I believe they were undefeated at that point, the Lakers, and he knocked them down. And although they wound up losing the next four games, that was gorgeous. And that's when he infamously stepped over Ty Lue.
Ty Lue, I know. It's so good.
And Ty Lue was like an Allen Iverson impersonator with the fucking hair doing everything. I mean, it's like, you want to dress like me? You want to rock your hair like me? I'm going to bust your ass and then step over you. You fuck you.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody who saw AI play on the Sixers, they know that he just, in my view, he is the one, he's an athlete who has more heart than any athlete I've ever seen.
Yeah, indomitable force.
Absolutely. To do it at his size and to just never give up. You know, I'll always be an AI fan, but I feel like this team that they're putting together, it's the first time in a long time where I've been like, all right, this could be it. So I'm all in. It's a very good moment in that respect because everything else in the country's all fucked up. Like, we're on the verge of some horrible violence and everything like that. And then to have the Sixers finally look like they're going to be really good for the future is so great for me.
I agree. All right, Eli, I appreciate you joining the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast, the unofficial official political correspondent of the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast, and I appreciate all the insight, and I can't wait to talk to you soon, my man.
All right, man, thank you.
All right, that was Eli Lake. As I said, the unofficial official political correspondent of the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. Stay tuned, listen to this funk. We'll be right back in about 15, 20 seconds. What else is going on, Mr. Moody?
Well, I know people know, you know, I'm known for predictions, and I haven't been going so well as of late with my predictions. But another one has just come true. In a new beauty ad, Kim K dons blackface.
Yes.
I said this would happen. I said this is the next logical step. So I said this would happen, and boom, it happened. Now, think of this. Black models can't get work because of their black features. Like, their features are not considered beautiful, right? But a white woman who unabashedly jacks the black woman's whole style from head to toe is celebrated, and more importantly, profits off the look of blackness and black features. This is insanity. That's pure insanity. Blackface on, yo.
Yo, she got blackface on.
I can't believe it.
Yo, the whole family is nuts. I seen a picture of the other girl, I don't know, Kylie. Yo, literally, she looks like a mannequin. Her whole grill is fake, fake breasts, fake ass, fake lips. It looks like you could take, like, it's like a mask. Like, it's like some Mission Impossible shit. They look crazy.
Yo, I can't believe that. Black skin. Here's the next thing. Braids. Those braids, like the black girls wear that come down. Watch. Like, fuck. What the fuck, man?
They've already been doing that. You're behind on that. I will say this, Monetti. Shit. You did make that prediction a long time ago, and that is correct. You have been completely wrong on every single prediction since your infamous Donald Trump call. But you did say that it's a little bit more of an under the radar prediction. but that you were right, and she she's taking a lot of flack, as she should. These girls are I hope they don't do anything to hurt themselves with all the tanning and the cement injections in the ass and all the lips.
Damn.
And everything. You're not dope. None of y'all are dope. You don't look dope. Okay. It's like Mr. Potato Head shit. Like, you could
but
put on parts
for it though. Yo, but we know it's whack, but they getting props for it. The papers are not dissing these motherfuckers, but it's like, yo, there are black people that look like that. This is nothing new.
Go on the 6 train. Drive right around Manhattan.
Right.
Go to D'Agostino's in Manhattan. That's the place. If you want to see girls, real New York girls with real parts, Go to any supermarket in New York City. Go to Fordham Road.
I don't understand that. And the hairstyles from when I was in school, girls that I was in school with, they rock hairstyles like that back in the, like, 1980. And they get, when they do it, the press come out like, oh, this is new, it's trendy. Get the fuck out of here. These bitches is copying black girls' whole style. And let's just put it out there. So you're not getting no props, but they celebrate these motherfuckers. And they profiting off that blackness look. And black people can't profit off that. You can't even get a fucking job or modeling because you look too urban.
Yeah, they look crazy. Carrie Fisher, obviously Princess Leia, who passed away earlier this year, it just came out that she had multiple drugs in her system when she suffered a fatal heart attack. Cocaine and all this stuff was in her system. I hope this doesn't hurt her legacy. You know, she means a lot to a lot of people. I don't know why they went out of their way to bring this stuff to public. Let Princess Leia rest, man. Let her rest.
Right. Well, they have to say the cause of death, I guess. I don't know. But, yo, she's gone. She didn't harm nobody. So let her rest. Let her live in peace, man. Rest in peace.
So Rick Pitino, they got you, you. You snake oil salesman. And if there's any young high school basketball players listening to this, stop fucking with Rick Pitino and Calipari. Go see Chris Mullin and the guys at St. John's. You want to learn the game? You want to become a star and learn the game? Do it on the biggest stage in the world. Go to St. John's. Okay? You got two Hall of Famers out there in Queens, New York. Play in Madison Square Garden. You want to be down there with this guy who's going to be your coach is skeeting off in Applebee's.
Yeah, he's naked in Applebee's.
And you think he's going to teach you about the 3-2 press? You think he's going to teach you about a boxing one? You really going to take this guy seriously? Go see Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond and the coaching staff at St. John's University. Enough with these snake oil salesmen, these used car salesmen. Well, what happened with Rick Pitino now?
He's outraged. Think about this. He's outraged that he got suspended.
Ugh.
And he said, and the quote that he said is, not only was this unjust and over the top in its severity, but I've lost all faith in the NCAA. Well, I've lost faith in you and your ability to lead young men. When you was caught hitting a chick raw in Applebee's and you paid this woman to have an abortion and you got the nerve to talk about something else? Yo, listen, Rick, we from New York too, B. Save all that shit. Walk away. How are you still the coach?
How are you still the coach? Are you skeeting off in Applebee's?
And you talk about players. You're suspending players for missing class. Yo, why don't you hold yourself to that same criteria and walk away from the job and say, listen, yo, I got to get my personal life in order. My assistant was hiring prostitutes for sex parties for the recruits. And I'm trying to claim that I knew nothing about that.
Really? That's you knew nothing about it, Rick? You probably took a little taste yourself.
Yeah, come on.
You probably
come
put on, your man. Pinky toe into the pool as well.
Were.
what else?
Oh, the cop that got off for murdering Philando Castile in Minnesota. Think about this. These barbarians are highly offended by Kaepernick kneeling in protest, right? But are not offended by a human being getting executed for nothing. You don't see any, like, I'm offended that how this guy could shoot that guy in cold blood like that. You don't hear none of that. But when Kaepernick is kneeling to protest this type of treatment, then motherfuckers burning his jersey, shooting it up. So the barbaric American tradition continues, and it's such a terrible thing to see this shit, to see this guy go with no problem. Like, what he did, the jurors are the problem too.
I agree.
But this guy, think about this, Rat. You got an all-white jury? Yo, that in and of itself isn't fair. That's not fair. You know what I'm saying? With that, the biasness that they have in this country that people grow up with, you can't put me in front of no all-white jury. Fuck that, man. It's terrible, man.
I agree. I totally agree. And the Kaepernick comparison is spot on. It's disgusting. Another innocent man, another innocent black man killed for nothing, literally nothing, shot and killed for nothing. And it's like a little blip in the news. Kaepernick kneeling to protest quietly, nonviolently, not even trying to cause a stir. He can't get a job in the NFL. He's lambasted in the NFL.
Right.
And you want to sit there and watch all these black athletes run around, jump around, do spectacular shit. But when they want to bring something to attention to people, and it shouldn't even be black. Everybody should be protesting. Everybody should be kneeling. Everybody should be offended that you could get pulled over for a traffic stop and shot and killed. That's some wild shit.
Right.
That is crazy. Scary. And there was a little kid in the car too, right?
Yeah.
Yo.
And the jurors see the video, see that, and say the cop did no wrong. That mindset is what's wrong with America. That mindset where you look at black people as nothing, right? So shit like that is supposed to happen, right? So that's terrible. And that's why these juries do that. Yo, what the fuck, man?
I agree. I agree.
And remember, they were talking about, oh, wait till we get the video cams and the body cams. And I said, you're just going to see the killings in HD.
You did say that.
That's it. So, yo, if you could see that and say that cop did nothing wrong or he shouldn't be punished, yo, you're a sick human being.
I agree.
You're a depraved motherfucker. That's a human being. I don't give a fuck. People be like, oh, you know, in their minds, this is a black person.
You're right about that. You understand that you're right about that. You get that, right? And it's not like as blatant as what you're saying, but it's like, there's like some sort of rationale that they rationalize that this is okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Right. Like his mom said, they doing this shit to us now. Yo, they coming after all you motherfuckers, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's that shit is scary to see. And for black people, that shit happened. And we kind of, it numbs us too. But we see that shit every day. It's like motherfuckers be unarmed. Motherfuckers ain't going at the police. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to be trying to be aggressive and go at them. Then they're going to have to put you down. But cats be unarmed now. Right? It's just some lynching shit, man. It's bugged out. That's why I stay my ass in the house.
Remind the listeners of your suggestion of if you are a black man, of what to do if you get pulled over. You have a great technique, and I really think it's great, and I think you should try to patent it. Please talk. Remind people of what you would do and what you do when you get pulled over by the police.
I go into rigor mortis mode. I stop the car and I am frozen still with I have rigor mortis, my hands on the wheel. You have to drag me out of the car through the window because I want people to see it and say, that motherfucker didn't even move. So you're dragging me into the car and I'm not moving, I'm frozen. But I got something new, Rat. Now, for black Americans, they should have, Google should come up with some shit. I need a white double.
Google, right, you could rent them, like you could get an Uber, you get a white double.
Yeah, a Google race technology. Gerald Moody needs a white Gerald Moody. So when we go in shopping, he goes. He's driving, nothing happens.
All right, you're safe. That's a good idea. You should try to bring that out to next time we go up north to NorCal, running up the flagpole with some of the folks at some of the good people at Silicon Valley. All right, this is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. This has been a fantastic episode. Again, this is our debut episode of Barstool Sports. I am the Gringo Mandingo. I want to thank Eli Lake for breaking down all things in the political landscape as of today. G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty. Always ready, G. Monetti. You got anything to say, Monetti? We done here.
Barstool, thank you. We coming to rock.
And we're done. That's it, Miles. Let me hear some funk and let's get out of here.